الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال: كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل رجب قال: اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers, ulama kiram, it is only the grace, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnificence, the mercy of Allah that Allah has allowed us to witness yet another month of Ramadan in our lives. This is nothing but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people passed away before the month of Ramadan? How many people passed away as the month of Ramadan started? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an opportunity to take benefit from another month of Ramadan. And when there is a great occasion in any person's life, a significant occasion in any person's life, then he anticipates it with great enjoyment, great excitement. He plans for it from long in advance. If a person is getting married, he plans for that day, for the moment of his nikah, for months in advance. A student who is graduating, he plans for that moment of his graduation for very long in advance. Even a person starting a business, he will have his business plan in place. He will be planning and preparing how he will run his business, what he will do, what he won't do. He won't leave anything to the last minute. He will have everything in place, even something as insignificant as a holiday. Because we give it so much significance, it is a major occasion in a person's life. He will plan for it long in advance. He will ensure every minute detail of it is planned, is prepared for. A believer, on the other hand, one who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who believes in the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him, he understands the reality of this world, he understands what this world is in relation to the akhirah. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining to you and I, The reality of this world, that if someone has to take his finger and he has to place it in the ocean, the tip of his finger, he places it in the ocean. And once he removes his finger from the ocean, if he has to look at his finger, how much moisture remains on the finger? There is not even a few drops of water. It is just some moisture that remains for a few seconds and then it will dry off. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the parable of this world to the akhirah. The life of this world, the duration of the life of this world, the importance of the life of this world is like that moisture which remains on your finger. It has no relation, it cannot be compared to the water which remains in the ocean. In reality, the life of this world cannot be compared to the akhirah. The life of this world is something constricted, it is restrained. It's something which has a beginning, it has an end. Whereas the life of the akhirah has no end. It is eternal. A person might live for 50, 60, even 100 years. But then Malakul Maut will come, he will leave this world. When a person enters Jannah, Allah forgive us, Allah save us, if a person is to enter Jahannam, then the person will remain there forever and forever. There will be no end to it. Not 100 years, not 1,000 years, not 1,000,000 years, not 1,000,000,000 years. There is absolutely no end to it. He will either continue enjoying the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, or he will continue being punished in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So one who has iman in his heart, he understands the reality of this world. For him, those occasions which bring the most excitement to his life, those occasions which he looks forward to, are the occasions where he can increase his investment in the akhirah. He understands that in this temporary world, despite it being so temporary, so short, this world is extremely important, because whatever investments I make in this world, I will see in the akhirah. Once I leave this world, I cannot make any investments, I cannot make any improvements to my akhirah. I cannot adorn and decorate my akhirah any further. All that has to be done in this temporary life. So although this life is very short, it is extremely important. So one who has iman in his heart, the greatest occasions in his life are those occasions which assist him to further his akhirah. 2 months before the month of Ramadan, when the month of Rajab started, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates, a narration of Bukhari Sharif, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua: اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. Even not only with the words, the advices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advice for us, even the du'as which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make, We should take lesson from every dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those things which he considered important, those things which he regarded as necessary for us to adopt in our lives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Not only were his words recorded word for word, but even his du'as were recorded so that we may benefit from it, we may take lesson from it. 2 months before the advent of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma barik lana fi rajabin wa sha'ban. That Allah bless us, give us barakah in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban. Enable us to use these 2 months to prepare for the month of Ramadan. Wa balighna Ramadan. And don't deprive us of reaching the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Allow us to witness this blessed month of Ramadan. This was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us the zeal, the enthusiasm that we should inculcate in our lives for the month of Ramadan. If a person doesn't have an object in front of him, then it will not be possible for him to prepare for an occasion. If the occasion has come, has arrived, but the person doesn't know what should be achieved from the occasion, it is someone, the day of his nikah, he presents himself, but he doesn't know what happens on this occasion, what is the outcome of this occasion, then he will not achieve what should be achieved. So the month of Ramadan, first we need to have an object in front of us. Once we have an object in front of us, the month of Ramadan has started. Now it's time for us to look back, to ponder, to reflect that how far have I gone to achieve the object of this month of Ramadan. Our example should not be like that person who traveled to Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara. The first time in his life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq. And when he returned, it was inquired of him that what have you achieved, what did you do, how many umrahs did you perform, how many tawafs did you make, how many times did you present yourself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the feeling in your heart at these occasions? The person replies that I did not do any of this, I did not make tawaf, I did not perform umrah, I did not present myself before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is inquired of him that what did you do if you did not do these a'mal? So he replies that I dedicated the day to engaging in tilawah of the Quran Sharif, to again engaging in different types of adhkar, durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The entire night I used to stand in lengthy rakats of salah. So what will be said of such a person? Even the most foolish person will understand. Even a stupid person will understand how foolish this person is, that he goes to Makkah Mukarrama, although he will be rewarded for the ibadat he engages in, but this was not the only object of this place, of visiting these Mubarak lands. Likewise, sometimes we could wake up for tahajjud salah. Every day we are waking up extra early, we are performing a few rakats of tahajjud, we are engaging in lengthy recitation of the Quran Sharif during the day, during the night, to engage in adhkar, in istighfar. But it is possible if we do not have the object, the proper and the correct object in front of us, that we do not achieve what should be achieved through performing these ibadat. When a person exerts himself in these ibadat, what should be his outcome, what should be his objective? What should be the desired outcome from these ibadat? Many people take the time of sehri, the time of iftar, to be times of occasions of partying, of enjoyment. So they will invite their friends, their family, they will party, and he will achieve his object, he will achieve his entertainment, but the object of Ramadan will be lost. So what is the object of this fast? The ayah which was recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the outcome of this month of Ramadan is to inculcate the quality of taqwa in our lives. Taqwa is not something you can see. You cannot stand up and do taqwa. A person cannot see if another person has taqwa. Taqwa is a connection between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand what is taqwa, what is this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an easy example to understand. If a person is to buy a gift for his friend, someone who he loves very dearly, he will wrap this gift up, he will present it in a very nice manner. The person who is giving the gift to his friend might not even be in need of the gift. He might have even more than this. But he will still accept the gift because it is the feeling behind the gift that counts. He will present it in a very good manner. But the same person, if he has to give a few rands to a beggar, if he has to give some handout, then will the same feeling be found? Will he wrap it up in such a way? That is the difference between the connection between the heart of two people. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be such that we do not stand up and perform salah as though it is a ritual. When we come to the masjid for taraweeh salah, we are not just performing a ritual. Because Allah commanded us, it is necessary for us to perform the taraweeh salah. So we will stand behind the imam, we will perform the 20 rakats of taraweeh and we will leave. We will attain absolutely nothing. It won't further our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will wake up for tahajjud salah, we will perform tahajjud, but we won't achieve anything more than that. The example which is given is if a child has to sit in a car, in a toy car or in some simulator, he can sit there and imagine he is driving the entire night, but he won't leave that same spot. He will remain in the same spot. Why? Because the engine of the car is missing. Likewise, in our ibadah, the engine has to be found. We can perform salah the entire night. We can engage in salah the entire night. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. If Allah doesn't accept the ibadah, it is what? Absolutely nothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. That how many a fasting person attains nothing from his fast except hunger. وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. And how many a person who stands up during the night and he engages in lengthy rakats of salah, لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the only thing he obtains, the outcome of his fasting during the day, abstaining from food and drink, the outcome of his ibadat in the night, is nothing but hunger and lack of sleep. Why? Because the engine is lacking. The person, there is no engine in the ibadat of a person. So what is this engine? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He does not accept the person's ibadat, a person's effort, unless he is a muttaqi. If a person makes an effort to inculcate taqwa in his life, then Allah says, from such a person I will accept his ibadat. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was known as Umar the Second, he had ruled over a vast portion of this world. So he had written to his emperors, his rulers in the different parts of the Muslim empire, that I advise you to hold on to taqwa very firmly. Because without taqwa, no deed is accepted. No matter what ibadat you may do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never accept it if you do not inculcate taqwa in your life. And he goes on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't show mercy to any person except those who inculcate taqwa in their life. And there is no reward, there is no benefit for the person in the akhirah unless he adopts taqwa. And then he ended off the letter by saying there are many people who preach taqwa. When is this? In the time of the tabu'at tabi'een. Khayrul Qurun, the best of eras, just after the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying that in this era, in one of the best eras, there are many people who preach taqwa, but there are very few who adopt taqwa in their lives. We should introspect and reflect that we are so many years after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything gets worse and worse. So what is our condition? Nowadays there are even less people who speak about taqwa. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many people are blessed with this quality of taqwa. How many people's actions are accepted because they make an effort to build up this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Amir bin Abdullah rahimahullah was a great worshipper, a great abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of his demise, when the time of his demise drew close, then his family members witnessed him weeping and sobbing. There were tears flowing down his cheeks. So one of them asked him, that why are you in such a condition? What are you fearful of? You live such an envious life. We all wish we could have lived a life such as yours. What was his reply? He dedicated his life to ibadah, but at the time of mort, he still had this fear, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That I know I stood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I performed salah, I completed so many khatams of the Qur'an, I engaged in so much ibadat. But the fear I have is, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts ibadat, a person's effort, if he adopts taqwa in his life. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if I adopted, if I made a correct effort, if I managed to inculcate this taqwa in my life. So the question we should ask ourselves is, that half the month of Ramadan has passed, two-thirds the month of Ramadan has passed. Have I made an intention to inculcate taqwa in my life? Have I made an intention to remove all evil, all filth, all haram from my life? Have I made an intention to build up this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who adopt taqwa. So if a person makes the correct effort, the correct intention, and he works towards it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him. So how do we inculcate taqwa in our lives? Ulama mentioned that a very beneficial method of inculcating taqwa in our lives, in our hearts, is through the recitation of Quran Sharif. They mentioned that if a person wants to gauge the level of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should look and ponder and reflect what is his connection with the kalam, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has left the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the kalam. It It is explained that it is as though it is a love letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person's beloved is to send him a love letter, will he wrap it nicely and leave it in the cupboard, not to open it, to look after it, to revere it? But he will open it, he will read it, he will take enjoyment from reading it. This is a love letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what connection do I have to the words, the Mubarak words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then such a person will not look for the fastest taraweeh, that I will just get over with the ritual of performing taraweeh. But he will use this taraweeh as an occasion to further strengthen his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا كلام ربي. These are the words of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are being recited. He will make an effort either to find some alim, to sit and try and understand what was read, what was performed in taraweeh. All the brothers come slightly forward, inshallah. There's not much place in the back for those who are coming in. Inshallah, there's not place in the front. If anyone can just come once forward, inshallah. So such a person will not only perform taraweeh to fulfill the ritual of performing taraweeh, but every rakat of taraweeh will be a means of strengthening his bond and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen this month of Ramadan for the revelation of the Quran. It was revealed to the Lawh-e Mahfuz in the month of Ramadan. And from the Lawh-e Mahfuz over a period of 23 years, it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, that this month of Ramadan was chosen for the revelation of the Quran. It was during this month of Ramadan that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do a door. He would recite the entire Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, it was his practice, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that out of the month of Ramadan, the remaining 11 months of the year, he would complete an entire khatam of the Quran every week of his life. And in the month of Ramadan, he would complete a khatam of the Quran every 3 days. This is the connection he had with the Quran, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had mentioned, man khatam al-Quran falahu da'watun mustajaba, that when a person completes a khatam of the Quran, he recites the Quran from the beginning to the end, from cover to cover, then at this occasion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as. So he should open out and pour out his heart's needs, whatever is in his heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned regarding Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, that when the month of Ramadan came, he would leave out all the extra ibadat he would engage in. So out of the month of Ramadan, he would engage in abundant ibadat, but he would leave out all the extra nawafil ibadat, the farad, the sunnan, sunnah mu'akkada, sunnah ghayr mu'akkada he would perform. But the extra ibadat, the extra nawafil, he would leave out in this month of Ramadan. And he would dedicate this month of Ramadan to engaging in tilawah of the Quran Sharif. Imam Malik rahimahullah, the great scholar, the great faqih, he had dedicated his life to hadith, to fiqh. But when the month of Ramadan came, يَفِرُّ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْحَدِيثِ وَمُجَالَسَةِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, that it is mentioned, his students mentioned, that he would distance himself from the gatherings of knowledge, from the gatherings wherein the hadith and fiqh used to be narrated, تِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ, and he would dedicate this month of Ramadan to reciting the Quran while looking into the Mus'haf. So he would open the Quran, open a physical copy of the Quran, and this is how he would spend his time, the month of Ramadan. It is mentioned regarding Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah that out of Ramadan, every night he is to complete one khatam of the Quran. When the month of Ramadan began, then he would double his recitation of the Quran. He would complete one khatam at night, and during the day he would complete another khatam. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, it's mentioned regarding him that he would lead his students in Taraweeh Salah, and he would recite approximately 20 ayat of the Quran in every rakat. We recite approximately 10 ayat of the Quran, and we complete one khatam in the Taraweeh Salah. So he would complete two khatams of the Quran in Taraweeh Salah. And then in his Tahajjud Salah every morning, every 3 nights he would complete a khatam. That's 10 juz, 10 paras of the Quran every day, every night in Tahajjud Salah. And in the remaining portion of the day, he would complete another khatam of the Quran. 30 khatams of the Quran during the day, another 10 khatams of the Quran in Tahajjud Salah, and another 2 khatams of the Quran in Taraweeh Salah. This is how the Salaf, the pious predecessors, would spend the month of Ramadan. And to increase this effectiveness, we should not forget that the purpose of engaging in the tilawa of the Quran Sharif is to build up a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to increase how effective this Quran is in building this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some portion of the Quran has to be recited with tadabbur, with tafakkur, by pondering over the meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, this is one of the purposes why Allah had sent down the Quran. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I reveal this Quran, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. All these ayat which are revealed were not revealed in vain, were not revealed so that it may lie in the shelf, be decorated and kept away very safely. Rather it is revealed, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا, so that we may ponder and reflect over the meanings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, the great mufassir, he writes under the tafsir of this ayah that it is necessary for every person to have some sort of understanding of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu an had once mentioned that he prefers reading Surah Baqarah and Surah Ala Imran in such a manner that he recites it with tadabbur and tafakkur. Every ayat he reads, he stops, he ponders over the meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what message is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me in this ayah. He says, I prefer reading these two surahs, which are approximately four juz, four paras of the Quran, than reading the entire khatam of the Quran in such a way that I do not ponder over any words of the Quran. So both are necessary. It's necessary for a person to engage in tilawa, to complete a khatam of the Quran in Ramadan, minimum one khatam of the Quran in Ramadan. It is mentioned that this is the haqq of the Quran, the right of the Quran over every one of us, is in the remaining 11 months of the year we complete one khatam of the Quran. And in the month of Ramadan, we recite one khatam of the Quran. So this is necessary. And it is just as important to take out, even if it is a few minutes a day, even if it is one or two ayat, to ponder and reflect over the message which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. So a student had mentioned to him that I complete a khatam of the Quran every 3 days. I recite 10 juz of the Quran daily. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu replied to him that I prefer reading Surah Baqarah slowly, pondering over reciting, then reading 10 juz of the Quran. Allah complains in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, that why do my servants do not ponder over the verses of the Quran? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, are there locks over their hearts which stop them from pondering over the words of the Quran Sharif? Another method through which we could build up this taqwa, this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is through nawafil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ, that a person, any ibadah a person engages in with the correct intention, the correct niyat, then a person gains the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ, that when a person performs and engages in so much nawafil salah, حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ, until such a stage comes that Allah says, I love him. Not only does he love me, but Allah declares his divine love for such a person, for the person who engages in abundant nawafil. After performing fara'id, after performing our sunan, the best way through which a person can gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the performance of nawafil. And the virtuous nafil salah which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced on throughout his night, in some narrations it is mentioned that it was wajib upon the Anbiya alayhi salam to engage in tahajjud salah. So, but for the rest of us, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a nafil salah. This is the greatest nafil salah. It is the most effective means of gaining the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We might complain that in the remaining 11 months of the year, we have to wake up very early. It is difficult to wake up so early. But in the month of Ramadan, Allah has made it so easy. Every person wakes up for sehri. He just has to wake up 2 or 3 minutes early, 5 minutes early, so that he can perform wudu. Make wudu and perform 2 rakats of nafil salah. Empty out his heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another method by which we can gain this closeness to Allah, build up a connection with Allah, attain taqwa in our lives, so that our ibadat which we engage in is accepted, is to engage in dawam with dhikr, that our hearts must always be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr is remembrance of Allah. One is dhikr bil lisan, to remember Allah with our tongues. So we engage subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, the various different types of adhkar which come in ahadith, to engage in durood sharif. But more important than that, and the purpose of engaging in dhikr, is so that our hearts may be constantly connected, our hearts' attention may be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until such a stage in our life that we attain the stage of ihsan, wherein any action we do, we are doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every moment in our life, we are aware, we are conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. And whatever we do will be done to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. to look back, to take stock, to see how far we have gone to attaining this taqwa. What a strong link we had created with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the remaining 10 nights, every night is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain this closeness and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to take the maximum benefit from these remaining 10 nights. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah.